If you've got your Bibles, you might want to open them yet again to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm just going to read the verse we used last week, because we're going to build upon last week's message this week. So we're going to take the same passage and build upon it again this week. So it says this: "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it says in Scripture, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' But to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builder rejected has become the cornerstone, and the stone that causes people to stumble, and the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you, who are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So I just want to start off by this morning recapping on where we got to last week. And last week we spoke about how we're called to be people who are living stones, people who build the house of God. God uses each one of us as like a brick in a wall. And that as a brick is in a wall, it supports the bricks above it, the bricks around it, and it's crucial to the structural integrity of that wall. If you start putting bricks out of it, the wall starts to collapse. And each of us are foundation stones for each other, built upon Christ, who is the cornerstone, the foundation block of everything that we do as a people of God. And we become like Christ, so we become a foundation for others to build upon. We are really important in God's house. We are crucial to it. And it says in 1 Peter 2 that we're called to be a holy priesthood, called to be people who give spiritual sacrifices to God. And if you remember last week, I turned us to Romans chapter 12, where Paul writes about being offering our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. As you read through Romans chapter 12, you see it's about what God does in us, how God comes to us uniquely, as Steve was just saying, how God changes our heart and works in us. But then that finds its place within the body of Christ in the church, and how we each have gifts, skills, and abilities. We each have experiences that other people haven't got. Therefore, we are unique, and we build the body of Christ, the house of God. And as you go through chapter 12 and into chapter 13 of Romans, you see it's what God does in us, what God does with us as the people of God, and then what God wants us to be in his world, the witness that we are called to be in his world. So we're called to be people who live lives of spiritual sacrifice, receiving God's blessing in us, being part of the family of God, to witness to the world. And I spoke last week about how in studying the Greek, for the word to be living stones, but the word stone there, lathos, in the Greek, it can mean, one of the words it can mean is millstone. And I talked about how a millstone, for it to be functioning, for it to have its purpose, has to be active. It has to be living. It has to be turning. And the point of the millstone turning and being active is to transform grain into flour in order to create bread. And that the church is like the millstone. That when it's living and active, It's a place of transformation, where it takes us as the raw material and it transforms us into something like flour, which then put into God's hands creates Christ, his body, the bread of life. So we're part of something which is called to be living and active in order to show life, in order to create life. But I spoke about how actually when the millstone isn't active, when it's not turning, all it becomes is a dead weight. And it has no purpose. And it says in Matthew's gospel that if any of you stop little children, and I said about how in Matthew's gospel, little children often refers to the disciples in his gospel. If any of you stop disciples coming to Christ, it's like putting a millstone around your neck. And so I asked us to think about, do we stop each other coming more into the presence of Christ? Because if we do, church doesn't become life-giving, church becomes a millstone around our neck. It becomes a drag. It becomes something which is hard work. It becomes something which is just a pain in the backside. And we think, really? Have I got to go again? Those people are really annoying me today. I've done this for 20, 30 odd years and nothing's changed. And how if church isn't life-giving, it takes life away. Church can either be dead or it can be living. But how it becomes living, well, firstly, it's having a heart for God and Christ being the centre of all that we do. But it's about what we do in this place. That each one of us has a purpose and a plan in this house. And that when we don't live sharing the love of God with each other in the church, it's like putting a stumbling block between us and other people. And it means that it becomes hard work. It becomes just dead weight. It has no purpose. If we're not being the church, then turning up here every week, turning up to midweek activities, it's just there's no point to it. It has no purpose. If it's not living and active, it has no purpose. And so all it becomes is dead weight. And fair, for lots of people, that's what church becomes. And I think, what's the point of this? I'm just dragging around this millstone with me everywhere. And I don't realise that actually the point of the millstone is to transform grain into flour to create life. And for some of us in the church, we're scared of living too much of Christ in church, because it can feel quite hard work doing that as well. Because actually to start taking responsibility for our walk with God in his house, start taking responsibility to say, actually, rather than being the complainer, I'll be the encourager. Rather than being the person who sits there and shies away from responsibility, I'll be the person who takes responsibility on. It can be quite heavy. But the millstone has to be heavy in order to transform the grain. And so for some of us, we shy away from the hard work of church because it seems like it's too much responsibility. It's too hard work. I won't put myself forward to help out with this group. I won't choose to do this because actually I'm not good enough. I can't do that. Actually, we don't want the responsibility of it, because in a place of responsibility, it can be quite weighty. But actually that place of weight can be a place of transformation. And you see, you look at the disciples' lives. Jesus discipled them. He took them on a journey where he said, let me show you how to do this. Right, now, you have a go and I'll watch. Now you go and build my church. That's quite a lot of responsibility he put on them. And look at Peter, the one who denies Christ. Christ dies and is resurrected again. This guy who would freak out, who was scared about who he was in Christ. And suddenly on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit comes and he's transformed. And he speaks this bold message of the kingdom of God. He speaks boldly about who God is. Sometimes we need to put the weight of our faith on us for it to transform us. I love those words in Corinthians where it talks about being pressed and not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. See, in church, it's not always going to be plain sailing and easy, because it involves us having to be grown-ups, actually having to not act like children and actually act with responsibility in the church. And some of us act like children spiritually. And in this passage of 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, you've had your spiritual milk, so you can grow up in the faith, you can grow up in your salvation. But we think about what Paul writes in Corinthians, where he talks about how you're like babies, still on milk. It's time to move to the solid food. It's time to move on. And you see, babies need to be fed. As children grow up, the food's provided for them, but they start to feed themselves, the food that's provided for them. And as you get to an adult, you start creating the food for yourself, and you feed yourself. And it's a bit like that in church. Some of us are in different, we're all in different stages in our journey. But for some of us, we want to stay as children. Because there, it's about us. It's about what church and what God does for me. And actually, as you start growing up, you realize it's actually about what God can do through you. What God can do with you. But then more importantly, I think as we grow up, we realize actually, I don't care how God does it. I don't care if God does it through me or through someone else. I just want God to do it. I think we see stages of development in Scripture. Of children, young people, adults, but spiritually. Where are we this morning? Are we like infants in the church, where actually we come to church to get what we want to get out of it? Are we like young people spiritually, who want to take responsibility on? We want to see what God can do through us. Or are we kind of adults in the house, who want to help people get from being children to young people? But more importantly, don't mind where God does it or who God does it through. See, I don't care whether God changes Yardley and Birmingham through our church or through Sheldon Community Church or through King's Church Centre or through Renewal Church. As long as God does it, I don't mind, because people's lives and people's salvation is more important than our petty squabblings in churches. And we go, oh, they've gone to Renewal Church. Renewal Church is still all the young people. Praise God that they're a place where they can be rooted and planted in the house of God. Praise God that people are in church, growing and changing and developing. We need to have a mentality where we want to go, what can we be doing here in our church? Let's start being grown-ups. Spiritual grown-ups who take responsibility for this house, who take responsibility for each other, who start living what the Bible teaches us to live about loving each other. So when we are just being church, when we are loving each other, when we're serving each other, when we're trying to give to people more than we expect to receive, that's when God will start doing amazing things through us. It says in John 13, 34 to 35, Jesus says, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. People will know we're disciples of Jesus when we start loving each other. And 2 weeks ago, I talked about how when I look at Acts chapter 2 and the church in Acts chapter 2, they were being church and God added to their number daily. Because the church was something which was attractive to people outside. They went, I want to be part of a family. I want to be part of a community. I want to be somewhere where people look after me and care for me. But it's all of our responsibilities. We all need to share that responsibility for each other. We only take our load, our share of what we are required to do for God. Because then we see the transformation in our lives. God transforms us and changes us. And the product of that is life and Christ-like living. So actually, when we come here on a Sunday, we get inspired, we get encouraged. So that actually in our week, when we meet people on a day-to-day basis, we bring life to them. We are people who give life. Not people who moan about church, complain about church, moan about how God, has done this again. Let's not be people of life. So I say, church can be like a millstone. Either living and active with a purpose to bring life, or it can be dead weight, which causes death. And I was thinking about bread, and I was thinking about the stone, and this kind of parallel between death and between life. I thought about how the law of God in the Old Testament is written on stone tablets. The law is written on stone tablets. And basically what the scriptures say is ultimately, the law brings death. Because no one can fulfill the law. The law ultimately brings death. But listen to what Jeremiah has to say. Jeremiah speaking prophetically of God. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. See, the things of stone will bring death. But God wants things to bring life. He wants to write it on our heart, and the heart is the thing that causes life to happen in the body. It's through the heart that everything else functions, that life gets to every part of the body. God wants his law, God wants his way written on our hearts, so it affects every part of us. The Old Testament was a law written on stone. The New Covenant is a law written in love on our hearts to bring life and to bring freedom. And when we think about the parable of the sower in Mark 4, I think it's verses 5 and 6, it talks about how the sower goes out to sow. The seed that falls on rocky ground grows up quickly, but it has no root. It has no depth. The seed sown in good soil produces fruit. See, things that are living will grow. Things that are living, that's the nature of things that are living. They grow. But they've got to be planted in good soil. Otherwise, if it's on rocky ground, it won't have any root to it. And I spoke 2 weeks ago about the palm tree being rooted in the house of God, and it's there that it flourishes. So the reason we plant ourselves in the house of God is because it's meant to be like good soil, where we can put down deep roots that go deep so that actually, when the trials of life come, we can sustain that. We are together as a people of God helping each other get through the tough things of life. Being rooted in the house is where you'll flourish. That's what we looked at from Psalm 92. The palm tree rooted in the house will flourish. And so you've got me thinking about the idea of roots and the roots of the house. And I started looking at the Greek word for house. And so, Steve, you'll put the slide up. So the root word for house, so house is oikos in Greek. That's what it means. And it means house, or it means family or lineage. But it's also the root word for all these other words that you see on the screen. So there are other Greek words that derive from this word. So the root word of house or family is the same for to live among, to live with, to build up, to build on, to reside in, to settle, to be a residence, where you live, a dwelling place, a home, somewhere that you're caused to live. It can mean exile or deportation, to send to another, immediate family, servant in the household, a member of the house, to manage, head of the house, building, construction, strengthening, edification, builder, to administrate, to put plans into effect, director or trustee, the inhabitants of the entire world, busy at home, with one's whole family, live as strangers, foreigners or aliens, neighborhood, to build up together. See, I want to be rooted in the house, because the house is the root of where we are built up. It's the root of where we grow. We grow up in the house. I say the root word oikos means family. And what's the point of a family unit? It's to allow people to grow, to mature, so that they can go and have their own families, that they can grow and mature, so they can have more families and grow and mature. The point of a family is to nurture from infant to someone who can go and do the same thing you've been doing. Family is discipleship, and church is discipleship. Living in the house of God is like being part of the family. And so we root down into the church of God, because it's the place, it's the family where we can best grow. Because it's where we can learn new skills. It's where we can share with one another. It's where we can gain from the wisdom of other people. But look at this. It's the root of the family. But look, it's the root word for neighborhood. The church is the root of this community. It's the foundation of this community. It means the inhabitants of the entire world. The church is the root purpose for the entire world. The church is the place to build up together. See, we're rooting down into the church. When you've got strong roots, it allows you to be the root of the neighborhood. It allows you to be the root of the world. The church is called to change the world in which we live. The church is where we build each other up. It's where we do life together. But I love that word exile or deportation or foreigner or stranger. Being a Christian is countercultural. We live, the Bible says, as citizens of heaven, but in this world. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. We're like exiles. We are people who are citizens of heaven, and we live as exiles in this world. The house of God is the root where we find life, where we find all that God has for us, because Christ is the cornerstone of his church. He is our foundation stone. He is the good soil which we can root into, and the house of God is his purpose and plan for growing us, to be people who grow others into the life-giving grace of Christ. So being rooted in church is crucial for us to grow. Don't give up on church. Start being church. So when we start living what Christ taught us to live, the world will be changed by it, because we'll be the root, the source of our communities and of our world. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here amongst us. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are living and breathing within each one of us. That, Lord, you give life to our souls. But, Lord, you give life to us so we can be living stones, building upon one another, serving in this church, putting aside our petty ideas. And, Lord, just somewhere where we can come and serve you. Lord, help us have a heart for your house. Because as we've spoken these last few weeks, your house is where your heart is. And it's where your eyes and your focus are upon. Lord God, I pray you'd help us catch a heart for your church. Because when we're rooted and planted in the house of God, there we will flourish, even into old age. Lord God, bless us as a church, I pray. In Christ's name, amen.